Kara from the Pure Rock Shop on WNJR FM 91.7, Washington, PA, and online at WNJR.org with guitarist Mark Kendall from the band Great White. Hi, Mark. It's great to talk to you again. It's no secret that Great White is one of my favorite bands, and I know we've done interviews for the Pure Rock Shop in the past, but this is our first radio interview for WNJR with you, so welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Kara. Good to be here.
So, Mark, I had the chance to catch two amazing Great White shows on the Monsters of Rock cruise last October. But for those who are unfamiliar with the lineup changes, why don't you tell us about how you began working with Terry?
Jack got sick, and we needed somebody to fill in because we had like 30 shows on the books, and we didn't want the promoters to be upset. So,
sure.
He was actually, he used our agent with his own projects, so our agent had suggested him, and the first show, I believe, was, I think it was in Missouri, and we didn't want to cancel, so he was actually doing the M3 festival or whatever.
Okay.
So literally, he changed his set time to make it just, I mean, at the last minute, like he had to learn the songs in one day.
Wow.
So he's kind of known for the go-to guy when you meet somebody or whatever, rehearsal. So he came to the show. He was learning songs on the airplane. I think it was crazy, but he did a great job. And then Jack came back for a while, but he went off again. And so we used a couple different singers, that, and we always kept going back to Terry because, you know, we liked him, you know, the most. And, and you know, Jack was just kind of unable to return. Terry had done about 80 shows at this point, and everything was really gelling, and when Jack couldn't return, he was our guy.
Great. Well, you know, I met him on the cruise. I walked up to him and said, you know, I'm a huge Great White fan. And he goes, well, so am I. So, you know, it definitely shows that he enjoys singing with you guys. And I think it's a great fit. And, you know, as a Great White fan, I said this about a week ago, we had a chance to see Jack out with his band. And I couldn't be happier because I get to see two wonderful bands playing the Great White songs that I love. So it's great to see both of you doing your own thing.
Yeah, we just got back. We were living in Nashville for the last 2 months, recording our new album with Michael Wagner. And it's just, I mean, I'm biting at the bit for this to come out. I can't wait for the fans to hear this new music. It's we're just real excited about it.
Well, so you
haven't worked with Mike. Excuse me, but
yeah, go
we
ahead.
Haven't worked with Michael Wagner since our first album, so it was kind of like it came full circle, and all of a sudden, you know, we're back with Michael Wagner. Man, was it fun!
Yeah,
it was such a good time.
I was going to ask you what it was like, you know, to work with him again. You know, how have you grown as a musician since 1984 when you did that first album?
Quite a bit, you know, because the guitar players that I grew up with were you know, I guess you'd call them, like, guys that play for the heart or whatever, you know, like Carlos Santana, Billy Gibbons, and the list is so long. I love Johnny Winter, and most of the guitar players that I listened to, you know, had that bluesy feel, and our first album was, we were more like, trying to be like Judas Priest, kind of like forcing it, you know?
Okay.
And when we met Ellen Niven, who became our manager, he really had a vision for where we were the strongest, and he felt, he through his mastery, brought all my blues influences out of me, and
uh-huh.
That's why people, when they hear Great White, they say, well, they got these big songs, but like I hear the blues in there somewhere. You know,
absolutely,
I mean?
Absolutely.
That's kind of because my, you know, he was just, he shaped the band, and And he was just a brilliant manager because he did more than just business. He got involved with, you know, bringing all our influences out. And that's what created the sound that was more, it was really more natural, but for us to do that because we weren't trying to sound like anything. We were just, you know, our influences were just brought out of us, and it just, it made the sound. When we get together and we play now, you know, I guess whether you like it or not, it sounds like us. You know?
And that, sure.
That just happens because all the different influences in the band, you know, like our drummer is like the full-on heavy metal guy, like he just loves real heavy rock.
Uh-huh.
And but Michael Vardy is like into like Elton John and Billy Joel, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And then you got the straight-ahead blues guy, and when you put it all together, it just, it makes a sound, just like any band, you know. Oh, that sounds like Van Halen, that sounds like, you know, when those guys play together, it sounds the way that does, you know.
Mm-hmm. So when can,
that's why we're so old school.
So when can we expect to hear something from the new album, Mark? Do you guys have an expected release date yet?
Yeah, we don't know the exact date, but at the very, very latest, it would be June 1st. And I think about 2 weeks out, all our promotional team will be firing away at the press and all that. We'll start playing it live. And, you know, so... We don't really want to start putting songs out way too far in advance, or
okay,
it doesn't really make sense, you know.
So when we see you this summer, we can expect to be hearing something live off the album, oh, then?
Oh, for sure. For great. Sure. It'll be out then. It'll be out. And also, just as a little bonus, we had a camera crew, full professional camera crew, film the entire process of us writing, you know, and making the album. You know, we did interviews about it. We were, you know, like from in the studio, so we can kind of okay. bring the fans to the studio and see how we make records. You know,
sure, sure.
I decided it'd be fun for the fans. You know, me being a fan myself, I was like, God, if they had this available when I was growing up, I would be like thrilled, you know?
Absolutely.
Like, ZZ Top making the record I bought, I'd like, I don't know what would happen. I would probably lose my mind. I'd be so excited. So I thought it'd be fun for the fans. And so we're going to include, I think it's about 45 minutes of us, you know, just making the record. We're going to include that Blu-ray with the album.
Oh, that's very cool. I always love the extra bonuses. I've always gotten like the Japanese imports so I can get the extra songs. So it's very cool that you're including a video with the new album.
Yeah, I think we could, it also, you know, it gives the fans a chance to know us a little better because they just know us from going up on stage and playing our music.
Mm-hmm.
But never really got a lot, you know, of seeing how we do it and that kind of thing. So I just thought it'd be fun for the fans, and you know, that's why I love those cruises because we're mingling like with our fans of 30 years or whatever,
right?
And you know, you get to hear the stories. It's in that regard, the cruise is a special thing because we are mingling with our fans. It's not just like 20 meet and greet people at the end of our show,
right?
It's like 4,000 meet and greet people, you know,
yeah,
because you're seeing them all over the ship, you know, and a lot of them have some great stories, you know, where they were or whatever when our music first came out, and you know, it's great to hear all those stories.
Right. We've done three of the Monsters of Rock cruises. We'll be going again next February, and I'm so excited to hear that you guys are going to be back again. And I know it was funny, Terry and I were sitting near each other for breakfast in the mornings, and both of us were losing our voices, so we're standing there trying to talk without talking. But, you know, it's kind of cool when, you know, the bands are sitting next to you at every meal, and you can, you know, mingle around, like you said, and talk to whoever you want to and get to know people. But,
yeah.
You know, and some of you guys had your family on that last cruise back in October, too. I think it was your grandson that was on stage with you.
Yeah, my little 3-year-old. He's, you know, he loves the music. He rolls out of bed and just starts playing videos and jumping around the house. My daughter and her fiance moved out, but we still see him in the day. My wife watches him and stuff. So I'm sitting, you know, it's just funny. You know, he knows all the shapes. Like the other night, they came to Utah, and he was laying on the ground going around in a circle like Angus Young, and I'm going, I haven't seen that one before. It's because he's like watching ACDC on videos, you know?
Yeah.
He just he's at that age where he copies everything, you know?
Well, I could tell that he'd been watching you before because he was moving his guitar right along with you on stage. It was absolutely adorable.
Yeah, he was watching this video we did for a song called Something For You, and I was up on this truck, and when I did the solo, I put my foot up on this box. So when the solo comes up, he puts his foot up on this little chair he has, you know? It's pretty fucking cute.
That's great. So I had another question for you about doing the larger events. Being on the road so much, you probably don't get to see a lot of other bands live. Is there anyone that you've had a chance to see at one of these festival shows that you've always wanted to see live, or someone that surprised you that you hadn't heard of before?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's been several. When we played with ZZ Top, I'd really never seen them live. And I don't even know why. It's crazy because it's one of my favorite guitar players, Bill Gibbons.
Uh-huh.
So not only did I enjoy their live show from the side of the stage, I got to sit down with Billy and trying to explain to him how important he was to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got kids coming up to me telling me how great I am, and it's like, you know, you don't even feel worthy of this stuff. But, you know, with Bill Gibbons, just the way he plays, and I don't know, man, the guy is so, he's such a soulful man and so down to earth. I was like, I was nervous, you know, and
yeah.
he was just so cool. And he actually, before I got home, 2 days later, I got home, and back then, I didn't have email on my cell phone. It was just one of those little flip jobs. So I didn't get my email until I got home, and he had emailed me saying it was great to meet me, and, you know, anytime they're playing around where I live or anything, come on down and have mercy. So, I'm going, not only was that amazing, but this guy remembered me. I was just like in shock. But, yeah, there's everybody, you know, all our peers from the 80s, when we play with them now, it seems like everybody, for the most part, you know, taking care of themselves. They're all playing better than ever.
Right, right.
So, you know, and on these cruises, I mean, everybody's playing great, you know, so it's fun to, because we've grown up a little bit, and, you know, that kind of animosity, you know, competition is kind of on the back burner. We're just all enjoying each other from other bands and, you know, high-fiving and, hey, dude,
sure,
you guys are great tonight, that kind of thing, you know. So that competition thing, it doesn't really exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's more just like, wow, we're still doing this. This is awesome,
yeah,
you know. And you guys are playing great type thing, you know. So, but, yeah, everybody seems to be playing well. And, you know, most of the bands we play with, we've gone out with Slaughter a lot. And, we played with Rat the other night, and they were great. You know, I hadn't seen Warren since we toured with him in the 90s.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, of course, he was just playing wonderfully. So, yeah, you know, it's everything. the old safe thing to say, everybody's great.
Great. Well, I wanted to ask you about this upcoming show that's kind of local to us, a couple hours away in Erie, PA, Roar on the Shore. It's like a bike week event. I heard that you guys actually played that before many years ago, and I somehow missed that. So with it being a, you know, headlining show for you guys, what can we expect to hear in a full set that we wouldn't get at a shorter festival show where you're limited on time?
Well, know, we have these little extended jams where we, like, bring the crowd into the show, and they're never the same. So that's always exciting for us and the fans, you know, to be, we try to bring them into the show and feel like they're on stage with us almost, you know. And, you know, we just play our hearts out. But as far as anything new, I think by then we'll probably be playing some new material.
Okay.
And, you know, so that'll be different. You know, slightly different sets. I mean, we bring songs in and out that were, I guess, considered B songs, but to our fans, they're like A songs because they have right. the record.
Right.
You know, and even though it might not have been some huge radio MTV thing, they still love the songs and you know, they get requested. I think the reason songs become hits is because those are the songs that get the most attention. But it doesn't always mean, with the exception of, you know, like Rock Me or something, obviously that's a big song, but there's other stuff in there that might get looked over because it wasn't on radio every 5 minutes.
Right. You know, and as a longtime fan, I know there's always songs like that that, you know, somehow slip into the set every once in a while. Like Loving Kind's one of the ones that's a favorite that I know you guys sometimes play and sometimes don't, and it might take a few years to hear it again. So it's always yeah. cool when you add in something we're not expecting.
Sure, like the Angel song, and we hadn't played right. that in years. We've been putting that in the set lately, so... You know, and that's kind of a what they call a turntable hit with the bands. Just like Save Your Love. Well, Save Your Love we had a video for, but and the Angel song, but they kind of came and went sort of. So
Yeah.
You know, but so we throw stuff like that in, just unexpected. So we should have a good night. Our East Coast fans in Pennsylvania and, you know, all the areas on the East Coast are just like anywhere. You know, they're loyal, you know, they come to the show, so
yeah.
I'm sure we're going to have a great time.
Well, we can't wait to see what you have in store for us at the Roar on the Shore event on July 14th, and we're already looking forward to seeing you next February on the Monsters of Rock cruise. So thanks so much, Mark, for joining us today on the Pure Rock Shop on WNJR 91.7 FM. And we look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you, Kara. I appreciate it.